Hello, my friend. This is Clyde, the Hallelujah Chorus. Revelation 19 and verse 6 says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God Omnipotent reigns." I don't intend to bore you with the details surrounding this time-honored piece of music that we know as the Hallelujah Chorus, but indulge me for just one moment. The year is 1741, and there was this composer, George Handel, who was coming into some hard financial problems. His music was not doing so well, and he was heading for trouble. A miracle happened, however. Another English writer, the poet Charles Jennens, had penned the words of an oratorio based on selected quotations from the Bible depicting the life of Jesus, from Old Testament prophecies to Jesus' life on earth to the future reign of Jesus in eternity. Jennens called it Messiah, and he gave Handel the poetry for him to put it to music. Jennens gave him the music. God gave him a miracle. For 24 days, Handel sat up in his room composing the music for this extensive package of poetry, hardly stopping to eat and with very little sleep. His life depended on this work, and it worked. What is now known as the Handel's Messiah was first performed in 1742 in England and has been performed and recorded numerous times all over the world since then. Since 1876, for example, the Royal Chorale Society has performed the Handel's Messiah at the Grand Royal Albert Hall every Good Friday. By far, the most popular portion of this masterpiece, however, is the Hallelujah Chorus. The lyrics are based on the future events surrounding Jesus being crowned as king. So let us explore this beautiful musical composition. It starts off with a grand statement, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. What does that word mean? It is originally a Hebrew two-word phrase, hallelujah, which means a joyous praise in song or a boast in God. The same word in the New Testament is used mainly to mean God be praised. The word hallelujah occurs 24 times in the Psalms and 4 times in Revelation chapter 19, but it has entered Christian language as the highest form of praise to God. It is a most beautiful word indeed. A huge part of the Hallelujah Chorus is the line that is repeated over and over again, "For the Lord God Omnipotent reigneth." This comes from Revelation 19 and verse 6. What is this line saying? Omnipotent means all-powerful, and this describes the God we serve. He alone is known to be omnipotent, which means God is absolute and universal sovereign. This is the only time the word is found in the Bible, but what a grand statement to be used in describing God. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The next piece of this great music is the phrase, King of Kings forever and ever, and Lord of Lords forever and ever. My, the title of King of Kings was first used around 1200 BC in reference to several of the great emperors of the ancient Middle Eastern empires. It means the equivalent to an emperor and is meant to be far superior to a king. The full title of King of Kings and Lord of Lords was first used by the Apostle Paul in chapter 6 of his first letter to Timothy. That thou keep this commandment without spot unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Paul was abundantly clear that Jesus alone is worthy of this grand title of King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as he is the only immortal king and his majesty is unparalleled. In Revelation 17 verse 14 we read, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." This title is not casual, my friend, for as the writer of Revelation states, there will be a battle, a battle of all battles, and Jesus will emerge victorious, thus confirming and solidifying that he is indeed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The last phrase of the Hallelujah chorus that I would like us to think about is the phrase, "And he shall reign forever and ever." This was first used in Exodus 15 and verse 18 when the Israelites were celebrating their triumphant crossing of the Red Sea. And they used the line, "The Lord reigns forever and ever." But Isaiah captured it in his prophecy as recorded in chapter 9 and verse 7. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Finally, in Revelation 11 and verse 15, we read the great note of triumph. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." My friend, the Hallelujah chorus seeks to capture in poetry and in music what the Bible has been saying for centuries. The Messiah, the Savior of the world, is the Lamb who was slain, who was crucified outside of the city of Jerusalem. That event saw the redemption of humans who choose to believe that the man who was on the middle cross, he has come to set us free. He is the King of Kings. He is the one who is omnipotent. He is the one who will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because there never was, there never is, and there will never be anyone greater and more majestic than King Jesus. I know that you are now going to listen to the Hallelujah chorus, but this time with a greater appreciation that we serve the most majestic King of all kings and the most powerful Lord of all lords. Praise be to God. If this was helpful to you, please send me an email message to friendofclyde@gmail.com.